Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Welcome back, everybody. Of course, we are with Andy Beckerman and Naomi Ekperigin talking about Scary Stories to Tell in the Pod, or Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the series, not the podcast. We didn't ask you both on just to talk about our podcast.
We're here to talk about microphones, recording techniques. What frequency? Is it 44.1 kilohertz or 48?
Finally, one weird listener is like, this is what I was waiting for, you know?
This is what I find chilling if they don't encode the MP3 correctly.
Oh, my God. Chilling.
Yeah, I mean, so yes, we've covered like, the horror of bugs, the horror of being an incubator for multiple vermin in the red spot.
Yeah.
That's very – I'm also – I got to say, in the red spot, a spider lays eggs in the cheek of a girl. I'm curious – does the teller of this story understand the biology of spiders? Because how's it going to lay eggs in?
Well, that's the question. She must have had an open wound, right?
She must have had.
How else does it get under the skin?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know how exactly spiders lay their eggs, but I do know that, like, it seems from having to clean out the garbage can 30 times last week full of fly eggs. It seems like they just squirt eggs everywhere.
Ew.
It seems like
why are you insects? Telling people we got you telling people about all the damn insects we have in our house, making it sound like we living in the favelas. Girl, you know I don't be liking to project this image.
So anyway, we now have to deal with Bolsonaro and flies.
That is I have done the exact same thing. I've had to bleach a trash can because my roommates were filthy people.
Okay, so we're your roommates, I guess is what you're saying.
Well, no, we were away for Naomi taping her. Naomi taping her Netflix special. coming soon.
You know,
to
and
Netflix.
That's the thing. Fly eggs in the trash can happen to people with Netflix specials. It can happen to anybody.
But when we got back, there were fly eggs. Some like, industrious fly.
Yeah.
Decided to use our trash can as a hatchery.
I mean
this is my husband has recently become a plant daddy. Like that's kind of a thing. And like getting a lot of plants, and I like the aesthetic appeal of plants, but he has to put poison in the plants once a week to keep gnat colonies from developing.
Oh god.
And I'm like, gosh. I don't want to invite that in here.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
We worked long and hard as human beings to get that out of there. You
exactly.
know, like, it's outside. We're
mm-hmm,
inside.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, allowances have to be made, and I'm happy to make them.
Okay.
Chris is just off screen with a bow and arrow.
One more thing, though, just to talk about the horror movie of it all, right? And we talk about how horror people are dumb. Think about the start of this story, though. While Ruth slept, a spider crawled across her – oh, forget it. I was going to say it stopped for several minutes on her cheek. And I'm like, why does she not get it? But I guess she was asleep. But I was going to blame the victim, and I shouldn't have done that to Ruth.
Wow.
I should have done that to Ruth. But
2021,
Naomi, no, Andy,
victim blaming.
Andy, I realized she was asleep because I was like, "You just laying there letting a spider chill." But I see she was out.
This story, I would have a lot of questions about this story if, like, Ruth was lying on her bed, perfectly awake, and a spider stopped on her face for 5 minutes.
I know. Oh god, she was asleep.
Yeah, it's like.
She was playing online Boggle, and she had like 3 minutes to finish the level. So she had to.
It's always online Boggle with the kids. The kids want the Boggle. We've given you – so from the red spot to the story we gave you, Andy, this is a long jump.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very strange story. I'm just going to give you a heads up. It's one of the reasons why we've held off on it for so long.
Okay.
It's a weird one. We have given you, of course – the man who lived in Leeds.
Right.
And I'll let you take it away.
And of course, the leads we're talking about are the Glengarry leads from the famous Mamet play, Glengarry Glen Ross. Give me the leads. All right. A man who lived in Leeds. There was a man who lived in Leeds. He filled his garden full of seeds. And when the seeds began to grow, it was like a garden filled with snow. But when the snow began to melt, it was like a ship without a belt. And when the ship began to sail, it was like a bird without a tail. And when the bird began to fly, it was like an eagle in the sky. And when the sky began to roar, it was like a lion at my door. And when the door began to crack, it was like a penknife in my back. And when my back began to bleed, I was dead, dead, dead indeed.
Okay, you just EGOT-ed. That's an EGOT. Holy smokes. A beautiful rendition. The building mania I have not yet heard before in the reading of this, and it works very well, I have to say.
And I want you to know this was a cold read. This was a cold read, Andrew.
This was a cold read.
Okay, you're just looking at it.
I mean, Hollywood is calling, and they're calling hard.
I wish. well, I mean, look, if there's one thing, there is a maniac inside that I tamp down.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, you'll and take this, any excuse to scream.
And you let it out for the sake of a podcast, and I appreciate it.
Or if someone attacks one of my loved ones, the maniac's coming out.
That is it. And maybe this story could be helpful. If you're listening and you feel that you can't quite access that, I'm going to defend my loved ones, maybe give a read in the way Andy just did. This was really – okay. This is a weird story, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
What do you think – like, who do you think this story is for?
Roald Dahl?
I really don't understand.
Well, sorry, I was looking at it again. I'm like, there's not enough anti-Semitic content for it to be for Roald Dahl. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Well, listen, you know, there are no heroes, everybody. Grow up. Yeah. Yeah. This is I guess, first of all, it's a rhyming scary story. Rare, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So this is also in the category of scary story in which at the end you scream and jump at someone.
Mm-hmm, So it's like a jump scare story.
But it's a jump scare story.
But it's also a performance. I mean, there are stage directions in this story.
Yes, it's a monologue.
It is a true monologue. It feels very like I'm auditioning for the Shakespeare play, but I don't want to be too on the nose. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, this one is also I've heard the story 1,000 times because I had this book on audio tape, and that reading gave me so much more context and interest because it felt as though in this, there was a man who lived in Leeds is speaking about himself. Mm. That was the take that I got.
Wow. Andrew.
Yeah.
Andy Beckerman, I mean. There are two Andrews here, so I have to be like, Andrew Beckerman? Andrew Farmer.
Do you listen, call me? Hold on a second. Do you call me Andrew?
Like only sometimes, like for the effect. Sometimes the full name is required.
All right. Like when I'm in trouble. Andrew Douglas Beckerman.
Does your family call you Andy?
Yeah.
He's Andy on all platforms.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
One time in religious school, I did tell my teacher that my actual name was Andre. I think I said, I don't know if I said this part, but I think I said we were from Canada. And then she was friends with my parents. She goes, so Andy's real name is Andre? And they're like, no, what? Where did you get that?
Like, from him. from Andre.
I don't know why I said it. There was no, it was not like, I think it tickled me to like tell her that.
A friend of mine's mom is a child psychologist, and she mentioned that very often kids say things to test reality, which I think like I also did. Like sometimes you just say a thing and wait for someone to be like, no, that's not how it is. And you're like, oh yeah.
Like, I like to say, sometimes I would say things. One, I would say it to just hear what it sounded like out loud. And I feel like I even do that as a stand-up. Like part of why I say things in weird voices or cadences or just like, because I'm like, is this right? Is this normal? Like how will this sound if I say it? Because it's been in my head and it always makes me laugh, if that makes any sense. And then as a kid saying stuff just to see like, will people believe me? Can I say something with like enough, you know, confidence that someone's like, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're very good at that because you're, you know, you don't have, you're very deadpan. So you're good. Yeah. You'll just say something. And then because Andy reads so many books, I'm like, all right. And then he's like, no, that's not.
I'm a great liar, which is why I don't like doing it because it's like too, it's too easy to lie. And I don't want to like, I don't want to have to keep track of the lies.
Yes.
It's so much, it's more so much stress. Work. So I'm just like, I'll just be truthful. Like, I wish there was like a real ethical reason why I'm like, you shouldn't lie. Like I read in Kant's Critique of Pure Reason or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But like, it's like, no, it's just, I'm too lazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to lie. We just talked about a couple episodes ago. I once, as a kid, faked a really convincing ghost on a photograph. I sprayed some talcum powder in the air in my basement. I took a picture of it. But then my conscience got the better of me, and I freaked out when the pictures got developed because I was like, oh, my God, what if someone finds these and is like, ghosts are real, and this becomes a whole thing? And so, yeah, I just wrote on the back of all of them, like, this is fake. I am a 9-year-old boy, and I made this, and I'm very sorry. I made it with talcum powder in the air.
Wait, who were these pictures for? They were your pictures.
They were just mine. But I don't know what. I think I was concerned that some bizarre thing would happen. They would end up in the hands of somebody else. And the fact that I was very aware of the upset around the fake Loch Ness Monster photos. And I was like, that really messed a lot of people up. And I don't want to be behind something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't want to be behind a hoax. There's a difference between a lie and a hoax.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. A hoax. That's exactly it. Yeah. And I think like when you let a lie go on long enough, then it's a hoax.
Well, because you're taking other people down with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, the hoax is because you've embroiled other people. You've
because
made them
of
complicit.
The society we live
in. Oh my God.
Everything is a hoax.
Oh my God. Andy, I threw away your ivermectin, okay? And I want you to know that that's your bottom.
How am I supposed to get rid of all my horse worms?
I mean, we talked about indoor pests. I mean, I use ivermectin just to get rid of indoor pests. Right. I'm not taking it.
Yeah.
If I put a little on my finger and on my tongue, that doesn't mean I'm taking it.
Just have to rub it along my gums. It doesn't mean taking it.
Just because I rub it on my gums and then have great ideas and stay up all night.
Here's a question about a man who lived in Leeds. Is there another performer whose take you would like to see of it, whose recitation? You set a high bar. I'm not sure many people could outdo you. But is there a performer who you're just interested, like, what would theirs look like?
Oh, wow. I mean, I got, you know, I always go traditional Shakespeare when I think of, like, great performance. So, you know, obviously, I do not know what's going on.
It's the ivermectin, I tell you.
They didn't say anything that I would like slur my speech on the tube. I want to go with Sir Ian McKellen or Patrick Stewart because,
yes.
I mean, they like, you know, I know that it's a cliche to say they could read the phone book and I would be enthralled, but it's really true. They're such exquisite actors.
Yeah.
That I really like. Shakespeare is to me is like just BS, right? I'm out here saying that. I'm out here saying that. The Bard, total BS.
Wow. Andy, now that's what I call punching up. The Bard.
But they make like, you know, mostly when you hear Shakespeare, just like, all right, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
But they can
that.
Make you feel it. They can actually like whatever
make it make
that
sense.
Emotion was back in the, you know, 1600s, they can actually
channel. You're totally right that there is like It is so much, I think, and it's like very cliche for a performer to be like, no, it's about the words. But it's like, no. Like, if you can make like old, dusty, cobwebby language feel like new and now, and like, I know this, I feel this, I think that is more on the performer's end, you know? I saw Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart do Waiting for Godot.
Oh, God.
And it was
oh, my nuts. God.
It was really, they were so fun. They were like, Ian McKellen also is like so spry on stage.
He's a bit of an imp. He can be a bit of an
imp. Yes, he's impish. And I think of him as like Magneto. I don't think of him as being impish.
Yeah.
And to see him like mischievous, wild.
Where was it?
I was teaching at NYU at the time and I got free tickets to take my class.
So it was like in New York. Okay, like a real deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was on Broadway for a while.
Saying the name of theater, you know that it was on Broadway. That's you know sorry, they were on Broadway.
I do know Lucille Rotel is off Broadway.
They were at the Niederlander, Henny.
Yeah, I would love to give Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen this like series of books and have them read the stories. It is very, I mean, that would be really amazing. I Anna and I had an acting teacher in college named Michael Potts, who is like one of the best actors. He was in The Wire. He played Brother Muzzone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So great. Such an amazing performer.
Oh my God, he taught.
And it's like also one of our dreams to like just have him like read one of these stories to us. Cause it's just, there's something so impactful in his voice.
Yeah.
And like you really like hear it and feel it. And yeah, I don't know. I think like with these ghost stories, what we found and what's so fun about having other people read them is like to get someone's take of very sparse language, it lets the performer thrive and come out, which we really love.
What were you teaching at NYU?
I was teaching playwriting.
You were teaching them how to write plays?
I was. It was a very
miracle.
It was a pretty
TBS.
Wild.
Naomi, how do you feel? You're on a podcast with two professors, two former professors.
Two former professors. I love it. Oh. Well, obviously, I love it.
Get that Andy, ivermectin out of your mouth.
Andy, what did you teach?
Philosophy.
Oh my God, that is much more impressive. Wow.
That's the only. I'll just make that sound, and you can put it all together. From
yeah, there. Put it all together.
That's amazing philosophy. How long did you teach?
I taught 4 years. 4 years before I moved to New York to do comedy.
That's a really good chunk.
Yeah, it was good. No, I was. I did some good stuff. I showed everything from Walter Benjamin to Sartre to Wunderschosen.
I do feel like there is quite a pipeline from the philosophy student to the comedian. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like that is very there. There's something right there. Because once you understand like the absurdity of so much, you know, it's like, well, might as well do this on stage.
Yeah.
The experience of teaching for me, I like very quickly realized like I really enjoy it. I did not find it energizing. And I think in order to be like, I'm a teacher, I think that in some way it has to energize you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's draining. It's sure draining.
Oh, my gosh. Is it exhausting? And also it's like when students want, like, I don't know any of them. I don't know what to tell you the right thing to do is. Like, I can barely like figure out the right setting to wash my laundry at. Like, I can like just talk about your work.
Yeah.
But so many people are like, please tell me. You
that's
know?
The thing. Oh, really? I think I would have loved that.
With playwriting, that's why I'm like, oh, you had the more difficult job because like you can teach like what, I don't know, what structure and stuff like that, right? But if someone's not like, doesn't have any kind of,
Chops.
Yeah, thanks. I was like, I don't mean it to sound like
kernel of talent.
It.
Kernel
right?
of talent.
If there's not even a kernel of talent, kernel. Right? If it's just pedestrian or worse, what do you do with that? You can just like, it's the same thing with like when UCB was like, no, we're going to teach you to be funny. I'm like, no, you're fucking not. You're going to teach structure. You can teach someone how to do a Harold, but that's not going to make them be funny.
Yeah,
that's
in
a
that
really
Harold. Oh, good Lord.
That's a really good point. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think what was funny about that, like, the scariest thing is paying that much money to go to theater school. But there was one time where at the first day, I would always say like, you know, like where's a place you could see yourself in 5 years? Like, what are you doing? What are you blah, blah. And there was a student who was like, I see myself being a Disney princess at Disney World. And I was like, oh, totally valid thing to want.
Sure.
I was like, you might not need to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Exactly. You don't need to spend like, what, 50 grand a year, probably more now.
And like, that student then was like, oh, and left and did become a Disney princess. She did it for like a year or two, and then she went back to school. And I thought that was awesome.
Love that for her.
Isn't that cool?
That's wonderful. Yeah.
I was like, I think that's great. And it was like, she did it. She was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't like check.
Right.
Oh, God,
and
I
now
on
to something else. Yeah.
Did she go back to NYU or just college in general?
I think she went back to NYU. I don't know that she went back to theater.
Yeah.
She had done it.
She was in The Greatest Show on Earth, you know? She had done it, really. I know the circus is technically The Greatest Show on Earth, but like showing up at Disney World and like standing outside in the hot sun for like 12 hours a day and making children happy.
And she picked the one where she doesn't have to wear like a thing on her head, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yes. So she's really performing.
Yeah, I went on a date with a Prince Charming who played like Cinderella's prince at Disney World. And he told some real wild stories in one date. They can only be out there 20 minutes at a time because no one can see a Disney princess or prince sweat.
Oh, honey, I would make it 4 minutes. Oh, my God. So they have to like run inside, dab, dab, dab?
Yeah, like absolutely blasted with cold air. And then they're ready to go out for another 20 minutes.
Doesn't sound healthy.
Blasted with cold air. It does kind of sound like some sort of torture thing, right? Like you go and sweat, and then we're going to make you cold. And then you just keep going back and forth.
We're going to make you sweat. We're going to make you cold.
Ooh, we're going to make you sweat.
I feel like SoulCycle might charge $4,000 to do that. You know, like make you sweat, blast you with cold air. Both of you, Andy, Naomi, this has been an absolute joy. You told your stories gorgeously.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing all of these very vulnerable parts about the things that we all find scary.
Thank you so much for having us. This was really beautiful. I'm sorry a couple of times I turned it around and asked you questions as though it was my podcast, but I was so excited.
Believe it or not, as the host of a podcast, sometimes I like talking about myself, and that is something I have to, that's something I have to unpack personally. Before we go, we have a little segment that we like to call Scary Ideas for Things That Could Happen, where we just say a frightening thing brief that could happen to someone. For instance, I'll go first, and when the moment strikes you, each of you can go. You are making a smoothie and you you're on autopilot, you put in some ingredients, you press the smoothie machine, it blends up, and you notice that the color of the smoothie is the exact same color of your skin tone. And you see that the setting you put it on was you. And that could happen.
Do I have to tell my frightening thing as beautifully as you just did?
Not at all.
Okay, because basically for me, you know, real fear that could really happen is semen in a soap dispenser. You know, you go into a public restroom and they have those soap dispensers, you know, and either sometimes it looks a little like white, like the soap, or you can't see, period, right, until it comes out. And just like, you give a push, imagine. And then you go to wash your hands, and you're like, why aren't my hands clean? Why isn't it sudsing? Nightmare.
I will never forget that.
You're welcome.
Oh, that could happen.
That could happen. That could happen. Freaks can be making it happen.
What's worse, that or a delivery person?
Oh, my God. You know how I feel. Semen. I know. My big fear is also semen in my food.
Oh,
in my delivery.
God.
This is what happens. You start ordering too much delivery and you figure it's a numbers game. I'm bound to get something creepy in my bowl.
There's bound to be some.
Something's going
to
get in that bowl eventually. But
what if you order shoes from Nike?
These shoelaces are semen.
Shoelaces are semen.
just semen being in places it shouldn't be.
Oh.
Would you think you were King Midas for semen then? Maybe it's you. You ever think about that, Naomi? Maybe it's you.
I got the semen touch. Is that what you're saying?
Oh.
Ew.
Oh.
That's a nightmare. Hey, now that's a nightmare.
Blumhouse? you got our numbers.
Blumhouse.
Oh, my God. Andy, do you have a scary idea for something that could happen?
I did. it's more insane than it is. And it's halfway. I got to say, I thought of this before either of you started talking. So it is. I just imagined this, and it's, I don't know if it's scary, but this is where my brain goes sometimes. I make my own little yogurt parfaits for lunch sometimes. All right. And yeah. I got a big thing of Trader Joe's Greek yogurt. And I was imagining, what if you open it up and you're, cause it, when you open it up, it's not settled, or it's not right. Like, it's not yeah. mixed. It's settled yeah. into like different layers. Yeah. So you have to mix it. Right.
Right.
So you're mixing that and you get a little resistance. And you're like, oh, okay. Maybe it's just like a little clump of it or something. You keep doing it, you still get that resistance. And you finally scoop down, and then there's a tiny little Ziploc bag filled with piss.
Oh.
Drew Beckerman.
Because what freaks me out about that, it's the finding something in my food is always a fear.
Yeah.
Right? But it's that, that's intentional. That wasn't an accident. Someone did that on purpose.
And if it's in a bag.
Huh?
If it's in a bag.
If it's in a bag. If it's in a tiny Ziploc bag.
Tiny Ziploc.
They wanted you to know eventually.
Yeah.
And that to me is, it's someone doing something to you. Someone doing something to you with intent. That freaks me out.
Uh-huh. Wicked intent.
It's the same thing as like a razor blade.
In a candy bar
when I was a child.
Yes.
That kind of fear.
Yes. That I just bought a big thing of Greek yogurt today, and that is going to be on. I'm going to do a stir to make sure there's no resistance.
You got
to
do a stir. Make sure there's no resistance.
You
got
to do a stir.
And I'll tell you this, Naomi, don't go to the airport. Ivermectin is.
Andrew, put the ivermectin. We're wrapping up. Put the ivermectin down.
Do not go to the airport in Boise, Idaho, because the soap is warmed.
Nope.
The dispensed soap is like a warm, and when it sprayed into my hand, I felt shame. I was like, please do tell our gentle listeners where they can follow you. Naomi, when your special comes out, tell us all.
I don't know when it comes out. Sometimes this spooky month, though. So follow me on Instagram at BlackDressComedy. And while you're on Instagram following me, why don't you come through and follow our podcast, right, Andy? Couples Therapy Pod. Episodes drop every Tuesday. We answer advice questions. We talk to fun people. It's a good time.
Yeah. And of course, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Andy Beckerman. Twitter for dumb jokes. Instagram for pictures of our animals and Naomi.
I truly, from start to finish, pleasure. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You can follow this little podcast at scarystory_pod on Instagram or Twitter. You can send us your scary stories at scarystorypod@gmail.com. And one more thing you could do for us is get out
forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @foreverdogteam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.